I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Hello. Happy Monday, everybody.
What is happening?
Busy little weekend.
Yeah, busy little weekend. You survived the 40th?
I did.
Yeah, everything went okay?
Yeah.
Went according to plan?
She left us.
She left. She's gone.
She went lawyer Jurassic Park.
She says, I'm out of here. I'll see you later.
I'm going to go do what I want. See you guys later. Like, all right.
Okay, you do what you want. What am I going to say? It's your birthday.
I don't know.
Hey, what about us?
What am I going to say? It's her birthday.
Hey. All right, kids. We're on our own today. What do you guys want to do?
I don't know. I'm going to do for my 40th. Not like I'm going to throw a big party. I don't know.
You don't want a big surprise party for your 40th birthday?
Well, she detests. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the attention on her. She forever, since I've known her, has she absolutely despises surprise situations.
Like being the center of attention and a lot of people there out of nowhere and you're not prepared for it.
Yeah. So that was never going to be in the cards.
No.
And then she also doesn't want a million people around. And then it morphed into... I'm going to go explore by myself. And we're like,
okay.
All right.
All right.
I didn't push back. I didn't say anything. I just let her have her birthday. Whatever she wanted to go do, I was down to go do.
Now, did she go explore literally by herself, or did she explore with the sisters? Was anybody there? Yeah. Okay.
Her sister, her and her.
That makes me feel a little bit better. I think if you're going out on an excursion, I'm gone. taking out the car and you don't see her for 8 hours.
Her and her
What'd
sister
you do?
Went to get, was both her sisters, but one of them, they share a birthday exactly a year apart.
Okay.
Which is a crazy thing to me still.
That is pretty wild. That is such a quick turnaround.
That's
as somebody who's going through the phase of number two, by God, I can't imagine.
That was as soon
whose idea was that?
Well, I think as soon as they got eligibility, they tried.
Let's get them out. I mean? Get them out now.
That's how I'd phrase that the best I can.
That makes sense. A little bit of a different life situation.
But they went out and about and they went garage sale, estate shopping, and just hung out at my brother-in-law's house for 4 hours. And I was like, all right. And then we went and got dinner, and that was kind of it.
World Cup on TV. What else are we watching? Let's hang out.
You know,
we got nothing to do today, buddy.
Played FIFA.
Hey, there you go.
I played MLB The Show.
Little video game Saturday for you?
I played some video games with my nephew.
Okay, that's always a fun thing to do.
He absolutely worked me.
I mean, that's usually how it goes. The kids are much more in tune with those kind of things.
I will say, I got kind of addicted to the Home Run Derby feature on MLB The Show.
Home
you
run
ever played that game?
I have played MLB The Show, and Home Run Derby's quite enjoyable. Hitting bombs, hitting dangers.
Well, there's nothing funnier, too, than not being a video game guy and then playing video games with a child who does play video games.
He's into the vids.
And so we're doing Home Run Derby. And he wants to show me how to hit because he doesn't know that we're about to leave.
Right.
So he's like, you need to know how to hit before we play a game. And I'm like, okay. So he puts Home Run Derby on. He goes, let me pick my guy. And I'm like, okay, who's going to pick? Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Jr. Prime Ken Griffey Jr.?
He goes, yeah. Who else would I pick? And I was like, okay. And he goes, who do you want? I was like, Ronald Acuna Jr.
You went current player? You didn't go past player?
He goes.
You didn't want Babe Ruth?
Goes, who's that? I go.
What?
Go to the Braves.
All right. Just,
there it is.
Yeah.
Yep, right there. His name's Ronald. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. He's won an MVP, and he's been pretty good for a while.
I just wanted to hit with Acuna. They're terrible right now. He's not playing, so.
Hey, yeah. Welcome to San Francisco, buddy. The meat grinder that is Oracle Park.
You guys have beat us in 5 out of 6 games, and it's just driving me crazy.
We're terrible this year, but something about playing the Braves is our good luck charm, man.
We're abysmal right now.
Hey, we'll take any dubs we can get this time of year, all right? We desperately need them.
But he was cracking up because every pitch, the first 5 pitches, I would swing and I'd pull it foul.
You're way too early. You got to wait on it.
And
you
that's
keep
what
your
he
weight
started
there,
laughing,
buddy.
And he's like, you don't know. You have to wait for the pitch. And I'm like, well, how would I know that? It looks like
time.
I'm hitting it on time.
I've never played this before. Give me a break here. Were you grooving him by the end of the Home Run Derby?
He beat me by 1.
Oh, that's not bad.
I got hot for a second
That's
there.
Pretty respectable.
Yeah.
Also, I love the idea because I've certainly been that kid. I was that kid playing FIFA way back in the day. Because FIFA is a super fun video game to play with multiple people.
It is.
You could do 2-on-2, and it's one of the rare video games in sports that you can have 4 people playing at the same time and still have a great time. But I was one of those people who played FIFA and had no idea about the players. Like, you'd learn, like, three or four names, and that's kind of it. I remember Drogba. Drogba was a very big deal.
Drogba.
Chelsea, like, he was massive and always hard to stop. But that idea of somebody playing a Major League Baseball video game and not knowing who Ronald Acuña Jr. is brings a smile to my face.
Well,
that's the epitome of the video game sports kid, because I certainly was that kid with some games of, like, do you not care? Do you not like the sport? You just play the you just like playing the video game.
Well, he wants to go to a game. They're going to meet us in Anaheim. They're going to do Disney with us when we go on our vacation in August.
Go see an Angels game while you're down there?
Well, so I looked at the schedule because we'll be there on the 12th.
Yeah.
And then we're doing Disney on the 13th. And the schedule just so happened to line up where the Angels are hosting the Rangers.
Ooh, okay. Not a bad game.
I looked up to, he's a Dodger fan, by the way.
Like, okay.
Bandwagon Dodger fan, loves Ohtani. You know, all that.
I get it.
But Dodger Stadium's pretty far from where we're staying.
Right.
So I looked up the Angels schedule and it's like $17 to get into the stadium.
A hair cheaper to go to an Angels game right now than it is a Dodger game.
So I told my brother-in-law this, and I think we're going to take him to an Angels game.
It'd be badass.
It'd be, you know.
Have you ever been to that ballpark before?
I've been outside of the ballpark. Yeah. I've never actually watched a game in the ballpark.
Neither have I. I've heard it's nice, though, once you get inside of it.
It's nice.
Is it nice?
Yeah.
Is it still nice? I heard it was kind of run down and old now.
A little bit, but it's still got a nice look to it. Like, it's
still got the fountain and the aesthetics in the outfield.
Well, when I went to Disney as a child, we went one time. They had a model replica of what the Angel Stadium was going to look like that they were building.
Right.
So I had seen it, like, before from a model version of what it was. And I was like, oh, my God, that's sweet.
It's
they got the big helmets outside.
Right.
Rocks. I thought that was really cool. The rocks and the water. I was like, that's awesome.
Right.
That was, I was a child, and it's the same stadium. So,
yeah, a long time ago.
You know.
It's their Moda Center. It's still nice to them, all right? Come on, man. I haven't been that long. Do we really need money for it?
There's not really a bad seat there to see the game. Like, it's still a good stadium. It's just,
yeah.
You know, well, it's not what it used to be. Figured. You buy literally any ticket, you walk around.
You're going to go where you want to go.
That stadium's empty.
They're not going to buy. I mean, you could eventually wiggle your way down to the 100 level.
If we go from, I think it's 400, they have a 400 section behind home plate, to walk down to right field where there's a thousands and thousands of tickets, I don't think anybody's going to stop us.
No, I don't think so.
So I think that's the approach.
You need to come together collectively, everybody in the 200 levels, and be like, all right, all at once, we all push our way down. They can't stop all of us. Maybe one or two get picked off. There's going to be a few expected in the wreckage, but the rest of us, we're going to go flood these seats down low.
So that'll be a lot of fun.
That'll be cool. I'm also a sucker for a baseball stadium with a out like a natural exhibit, if you will. Like, the idea of having a waterfall, I think, is really cool in a baseball stadium.
I love that, too. Yeah.
Like, Kansas City, he's got their waterfall. Yep. The Rockies have, like, big, you know, trees in their outfield surrounding their dugout.
The Diamondbacks have a pool.
Like, I'm a big fan of something cool and unique that way, that you look out and there's like, it just kind of brings a little tranquility to the game.
Was anything cool and unique about Eugene's outfield for the Savannah Bananas this weekend?
Dude,
I watched that.
I forgot that was happening. We'll have to ask the brandman, because I think he went.
He said he had tickets.
He was there yesterday.
He was there yesterday. I remember when the tickets came out, him being like, I got to get tickets for my kids. So I'll be curious for a review. I haven't talked to anybody who's gone.
Did you watch it?
I did, because I forgot that it was happening, and then I saw stuff on social media, and I'm like, ooh, I need to see the aesthetics of this. Like, what is a baseball game in Autzen Stadium?
It was very odd looking, but
yes.
Cool.
Yes. I think that's kind of how all theirs are at football stadiums, because there's no way to do it other than have, like, a 40-foot left field fence.
But isn't Autzen a little unique in the sense of, like, how much smaller it is than some of the SEC stadiums?
I mean, they're certainly bigger. I think the field area is all generally the same that they have to, like, work with. But in terms of stands, yeah, like, you go to Tennessee or you go to LSU, or you're going to get a lot more people in the building for that. It was, I mean, I watched, like, an inning and a half of it, maybe two innings, and it just reminded me that I'm not a Savannah Banana guy. Like, no offense to anybody who is a Savannah Banana guy.
60,000 strong.
I mean, I could see why it's entertaining to be there in person.
Yeah.
Because you're, you know, but in terms of watching on television, it's just, you know, it's not my cup of tea, baby. That doesn't have to be a disrespectful thing. But I watched two innings of it just to see what it looked like.
So I had a sweet spot because I thought the weekend was a lot of fun. The World Cup was going crazy.
It was.
I was watching that England match on Saturday, and my brother-in-law and I were talking. And he was like, you know what sucks is, like, when they get an opportunity to score and then they don't, and then you have to wait for the next opportunity. And they literally missed a shot.
Oh.
He looks down at his phone, and as he looks down, he misses the goal that England scores to go up 1-0. And I'm like, dude, this is what we were talking about.
You can't look away.
But the World Cup was going crazy, and then the Savannah Banana thing paired with The Travelers, which, by the way, we have a final playoff hole.
We do. I think starting
in
now.
In progress.
Right now.
Just
started. Yeah, yeah,
they're
right
on the now. Green, looking at birdie putts right now.
Both have birdie putts?
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's turn it on.
So you had the Travelers. I had the Portland Fire going to four overtimes, tying in a WNBA record.
Dude, that was wild.
Carla Leight being as amazing as she was, all she's going to think about is that back rim go-ahead shot at the buzzer.
Shot was there for her.
So I had that. I had the Travelers. I had the Savannah Bananas. And I had Canada and South Africa there until it ended with Canada winning.
Yes.
But
that
was
a little tense game for the Canadians yesterday.
It was.
They were on edge until the very end.
It was a great match. Came down to the very end.
Why were they not playing that game in Canada, by the way? Have they already moved? Like, is Canada already done hosting games?
I don't know. Yes.
Okay.
I think the knockout rounds are.
I figured Canada
US
would go.
We got most of the matches.
Yeah.
Canada and Mexico barely got any.
Okay. Right. I was just surprised that was a pretty big game for Canada. I'm like, they should be playing on home soil right now. Maybe. No. Okay. All right.
But once the Travelers went to the weather delay.
Yes.
And then now we have the playoff hole with Hovland and Scheffler. They both got birdie putts here. It looks like Scheffler's a little closer than Hovland's. Once they did that, I just did split screen with Fire and Savannah Bananas.
Getting your Savannah Banana on.
Dude, I watched quite a bit of it. Now, I have a full review on the Savannah Bananas.
Okay, what's your full review? Is that the first time you've ever watched the Savannah Bananas?
Ever, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen stuff.
You're
but
scrolling
like,
through, you're seeing a highlight, but never sat and actually watched anything?
I would imagine anybody that went is going to tell us today they had a lot of fun.
An absolute blast.
They had concert, like mid-game concerts with players singing. They had a random dance performance in sequence.
Usually how it goes. Music playing the entire game.
I can't tell what speed they're actually pitching, but it doesn't look like it's 80.
I would guess low 80s.
Oh, I was thinking like
you think it's
high
slower
60s.
Than that? Oh, no. I think it's a little bit faster than that.
Is it?
I think so.
It just looks more softball-ish than it does.
I mean, it certainly is, but
right?
I think high.
Maybe I might be
you're
wrong
right.
on this.
Let me Google. I'll
I
see
don't
if
have
I can
a gauge for it, and I didn't see any MPHs, so
right.
I'm just trying to guess.
They don't show that at all for that reason.
Hovland nailed his birdie putt.
Look at that.
Here we go, Scotty.
Might be going to a second playoff hole.
Just creeped in on the edge.
Dude, I'll give you a hot take. We should get an extra round, not a sudden death playoff hole.
The idea of.
Give me nine at least.
Waiting around for a Monday playoff and then it being over in 10 minutes is kind of funny.
It's hilarious.
Because if Scotty misses this putt, it's over. You build all that up for one playoff hole, and then it's like, all right, cool.
But I enjoyed the spectacle. I also was a little confused on how they're keeping track of points versus runs. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that, no.
They put points on their score bug. And
what
then
did we get points for?
I don't know.
Okay,
because the
confusing.
Runs and points were kind of different, so I'm like, what's happening here?
All right, that's weird.
But I think most people that went will tell you it was a good time.
The tweet I saw from Tyson Alger that made me laugh, because he went down to cover it, and so he was there. He was one of the few media members that I saw was there with kind of a reaction to it. And he said he felt like he was living in a TikTok video for a couple of hours.
Yeah, that's how it looked.
Like, it just is one big, long TikTok, and everybody's TikToking, and then the game is over. And there's, I mean, you know, for some people, that's entertaining. It's like the music. It's kind of like, when I turned it on, it reminded me of the vibe. Now, obviously, much different, because you're not, like, picking off MLB players to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the live golf of baseball. It's like, it's baseball, but fun. We're playing music and doing tricks, and everybody's relaxed. We got dances going on. It's a shotgun start. This is great. We got concerts. How about that?
The live golf of baseball.
I think it's the live golf of baseball.
But they're not poaching anybody.
I know they're not poaching anybody from an entertainment standpoint. That's
they care about the entertainment.
Yeah, like
sport.
We wear shorts and cut off sleeves, and it's fun, and everybody's wearing sunglasses and eye black, and this is going to be cool.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
It's just a little bit different in that regard. I could certainly see, like, if Teddy ball game. Oh, he missed it. Wow. Scotty. All that for nothing.
Boy,
huh?
He burned the edge on that one.
Made that par putt, sent us to a playoff, and it's over just like that. All right.
What? Yeah, this is
it's a
really
big dub
just
for the Norwegians, dude. Did you see the Norwegian fans
there
yesterday?
Showed out for, yeah, they
for
showed
Victor.
Up the whole tournament.
They were there, man. Yeah. Scotty made his putt. Everybody chanting USA, USA. He just missed a 5-footer for birdie. How about that?
Well, been there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I've actually missed the comeback par putt, too.
Very relatable, Scotty. Very relatable.
Burn it past about 5 feet. Have a 5-foot par putt. Miss it, bogey. Hey, that was great.
Yeah, Savannah Bananas, like, if Teddy was 2 years older and somebody was like, hey, do you want to go? I could easily see that being a yes if they're back in town. But, like, for me, without.
Did you take him to a football game?
I did. I'm just saying, like, I could see him being into that. But for me personally, if I ever went, it would just be about let's take the kid to have a good time. Because I could see kids having a blast at that
thing.
I think
that was the only reason anybody went to that, right?
Is any adult into the Savannah Bananas by themselves?
I could see a couple, like, bros. There's nothing going on
a good
Saturday.
Time. Yeah.
And they're like, dude, let's go get a couple drinks and we'll go down to Eugene. I mean, that's cool. That's a spectacle, right? Like,
it is.
Seeing the football stadium.
The weather held off, too. It didn't rain.
The weather was perfect for the event. Our weekend ended up being, it actually ended up being that wet. But
yeah, I got no complaints.
We had the downpour on Saturday, and we'll get to that because some poor sap got absolutely electrocuted
this weekend. That was wild.
I had friends golfing, and I only got an alert, golfer struck by lightning. And I was like, oh my God, are my friends dead?
Text all the people you know.
And then it said West Lynn, and I went, I know what club that was.
I know where we're going there. A lot of walking, a lot of up and down. A
lot of up and down there. But I could see somebody just saying, I got nothing going on this weekend.
Yeah.
Let's get a couple pops, because just seeing Autzen Stadium as a baseball venue.
Right.
I mean, how many other people are wondering what their stadium looks like as a base? I don't think I've seen that since Candlestick.
No, that funky left field, like it's very weird and unique.
Yes.
And I also watched thinking to myself, how do you not score 15 runs in a game? That left field is like legitimately 150 feet. It's like shorter than a softball field.
I was wondering the same thing.
How are you not hitting home runs down the line the entire game if you're a right-handed hitter?
Well, when they kept hitting home runs...
It's like just a routine fly ball.
I don't know how many they ended up getting in the game, but when I saw the couple home runs, they would look like they hit up mid...
Yeah, they're hitting them almost out of the damn stadium. They're like almost at the top because you're hitting one and you're connecting with it. Now, Google AI is telling me they throw in the high 80s to low 90s, and I'm not buying that.
It just didn't look like
that. I'm going to downgrade them a little bit. That seems a little misleading, but I'll go low 80s. Low 80s is my guesstimate for Savannah Bananas.
Do they do a home run derby, like, pregame?
I don't know.
I'd imagine that'd be something that'd be kind of fun, right? Like, can we hit it out of Autzen Stadium?
That's actually a good question. I'd imagine there's some sort of batting practice involved. I also enjoyed the videos from Oregon's side of it because they're in the process, and I think Oregon State's doing the same thing where they're getting new turf this offseason.
We're doing turf.
And so I think they used, because they spray painted the infield on the football field.
Yeah.
That's how they got it. And I'm just assuming that they used the old turf to do it. And now they're going to rip it up and put the new turf in, and maybe they were waiting for the bananas to come through. But it was kind of fun seeing the behind the scenes of how they made it all look.
When they go into some of these other stops on their tour, are like college coaches involved? Because I know Dan Lanning was in Japan, but
yes,
like,
he was not around.
Would have been kind of cool to see Dan Lanning go out there.
I think they try and do. There were some people there. Like, I think I saw a video that they had DeAnthony Thomas there. Now, I don't know if he got in the game, but sometimes when people come through, I've seen them have like famous people jump into the game. And
that's
go
what
do,
I figured.
Like,
they would
go
do,
doing
right?
in that bat. So I don't know if DeAnthony Thomas got into the game at all.
Yeah,
but they've done that in other markets where somebody around's been like, hey, let's get you out here, get you an at-bat, come have some fun, see if you can get a hit, run to first base, maybe do a dance with the other infielders.
The LIV Golf part is a good comp. I'd also say very similarly, it reminded me more of WWE.
Yes, it's very WWE.
They're obviously athletes.
Yes.
What they're doing, like, can you catch and do a backflip? I can't.
No, I can't do it.
Is it unnecessary?
Yes.
Also, yes.
Can I feel the ground ball between my legs and then flip it behind my back to first base? No, I cannot do that.
No, not in the way that they do that.
No.
But it's entertainment, so it's more about that than it is the sport itself. I just thought it was kind of a cool spectacle to see Autzen Stadium as a baseball stadium.
And I'd be curious to know, like, I bet if ESPN's putting those things on, I think the numbers on those are pretty decent in terms of a television rating.
It is.
Like,
they
imagine
do really well on TV, and their attendance is sold out.
That's like, how I think there was a guy doing it, the head guy, whatever his name is, who walks around in the yellow tuxedo. He's like the main guy, the starter, the CEO, whatever. I saw an interview of him talking about the specialty of being in Eugene, and I'm like, that's right. This is going on this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's why I made a point to watch. But it was fun, man.
The
bananas are in town.
He's almost like the new age Dana White.
Yes.
Take the Savannah Bananas from what they were, which was like a gimmicky crotch.
Yeah, dude.
You know, thing in baseball a couple years back to
it's
what
unbelievable.
It is now on a tour.
One of the biggest success stories from a business startup that we've ever to cut through from a sports perspective. Think about that. Like, think about how long that alternative football league has been trying to break through and gain footing and sell out. They can't do it.
They can't.
The UFL cannot sell out
a
stadium.
Maybe they should just come up with wacky rules that the NFL can steal, let former players who know they're never going to the NFL again play, and then do Savannah Banana stuff.
Do dances at the halfway point of the first quarter. Everybody takes a brief time out on the field and does the Macarena.
Yes.
All right, back to football.
You
second
need to
and
do
nine.
The replacements dance.
Or what about Remember the Titans? You could do that one, too.
Yeah.
Everywhere we go, people want to know
I mean, if you can do something like that, people will show up and watch.
You in on that one?
I'm not in on it, but
that's
I
why it's
understand
remarkable.
It.
Like thinking about the idea of starting another league and having people follow it and care. They sell out everywhere they go.
I think one of your worst takes is the Savannah Banana thing because it's not for you, but everybody is telling you it's for them.
It is for people.
Yeah,
I'm just not one of those people.
I totally get it.
I'm in a different tribe, but you do you, boo.
Watching, I was like, I don't know if I enjoy watching this on television.
I couldn't do it on TV.
In person, I can see how this could be fun if you have kids.
Yeah, dude, taking your kids, music playing the whole time, catch some foul balls, watch them run around, good time.
Well, we're in on a Monday, and we still don't have Jaylen Brown as a Blazer.
No, but it's going to break any moment now. On the show today. That's my hot take.
I was told yesterday it does feel like it. They told me yesterday who I text, today or Monday. It feels like it's within a 48-hour little 24, 48-hour window.
I think we're getting it during the show today.
That would be really kick-ass. We're going to talk with John Corrales coming up at 7 a.m. We'll dive fully into it. Blazer fans were interesting on social media this weekend.
My poll question started it all. I knew that was going to be a debate.
Yeah, and it raged into the weekend. So we'll revisit all of that. It's a loaded show. Thank you for being with us. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Hey, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. Good morning. Happy Monday. Hope your weekend was great. Playoff in the Travelers is over. It took just one hole. Victor Hovland nails his 9-foot birdie putt, and Scottie Scheffler misses his 5-footer. So we wake up early. We get playoff golf. One hole over. See you later. 10 minutes.
Look at the bonus of waking up early on a Monday morning. All you grinders out there, you got to hear about the end of the Travelers Championship.
You're
come
damn
on,
right.
Baby.
The unofficial fifth major of golf.
That's what they call it. The red umbrella. I mean, it's iconic in golf. If you win it, crowds are actually pretty good, although some did get told yesterday they had a nasty rain delay, and the ushers and the people walking around the course said, go wait it out in your cars. That'll be safer. Only then to find out when play restarted, they tried to re-enter, and they told them, sorry, no re-entry into the tournament.
It's when it ends like that, it makes me think, like, a full round I get not wanting to do, but, like, what about playing three holes?
It should be a three-hole playoff. If you're doing a Monday, I'm fine doing a one-hole sudden death if you're finishing it
if
on a Sunday.
Day like, of, yes.
Let's go right to the next hole. If you win the next hole, the tournament's over. I don't need three there, but if you're making me wait around, the idea of how long do you think those guys warmed up for this morning?
2 hours?
Because you're doing the same normal routine.
Yes.
You don't know how many playoff holes it's going to go, so you're up at the butt crack of dawn, hitting 100 balls on the ring. Rolling your putts in, stretching cardio, working out, and over. See you later.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right.
God, the approach shot. Scotty's going to kick himself all day on that.
He stuffed it real close, man. By the way, a couple of our sources have chimed in on Banana Ball.
Oh, we got some Banana Ball reviews.
We got some Banana Ball sources. DeAnthony Thomas was used as a pinch runner in the game.
Okay, I must have missed that one.
I did not. I saw them do like a highlight thing for him, but I didn't see him get in the game. So he was used as a pinch runner.
Okay.
It has been said, where did it go, about the point system. God, where did it go?
The points versus run thing.
Yeah, basically they throw. Oh, here it is. You win each inning, so the runs add up to the actual score. You get a point for each inning that you win.
Okay. Oh, okay, so that makes sense.
You get that going with it?
Yeah.
Mike and Salem said, I went to Banana Ball yesterday. Surprisingly fun. Yeah. 190 down the left field line was silly, but leaned into it with a UO thing, and it was a great time.
If you go in knowing, which, you know, you do already going into it, but, like, you go in with the mentality, like, this is not real baseball. This is just
gimmicky fun. Oh, you're just, you know what
you're
getting into, yeah.
You just want to be at Autzen Stadium and see a spectacle, and that's, you know, not shocking at all to hear that it was a great time.
A lot of people connecting it, too. This is, you know, a great point that I shouldn't have missed on. It's the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
That's a good one.
That's the more apt analogy. Yep. But are the Harlem Globetrotters still a thing?
They are.
They're still going around
still
a
tour?
Okay.
Still throwing buckets of confetti, making you think it's water.
Oh, here it comes. Uh-oh. Oh, no, confetti.
That is a funny gimmick still because there's so many kids that don't know that it's not
have
water.
Have not seen it before.
That when they do it, they still like have the, no! Confetti.
Still hits all these years later. So it's like a great dad joke.
Yeah. I think, and when we see Brandman today, I think Brandman's going to tell us, you know what? Great time.
And it didn't rain.
It didn't rain.
The only thing you were worried about.
Well, it never rains at Autzen Stadium.
That is very true. Although, immediately after the game, I saw a tweet saying it is pouring at Autzen, so the timing could not have been any better.
There was moments, I think, all throughout our state where it dumped, man. Like, it rained hard.
Here it comes.
Also, the thunder and lightning as one golfer experience.
Not good.
Very intense, loud.
This kind of weather this time of year puts my mind into a total blender. I don't know about you guys. My wife has like a fetish for fall and candles. And if you give her weather in the low 60s to upper 50s at times, like a little nip in the air, cloud cover, looks like an October day, I'm like walking around my house and all of a sudden there's candles burning in every room and there's like a pumpkin decor thing, screensaver on the TV. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm a big holiday guy, but when you're walking around and you know it's almost July, it is an absolute mind bleep, if you know what I mean.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Why does it smell like pumpkins and vanilla right now?
What is
it's the 4th of July next week, man.
I don't know if you can answer this question
sure.
for me. Yep. What is it with vanilla and pumpkin
I don't
that
get it.
White women specifically love candles?
I think I will give you a take. Now, you know I'm anti-flavor vanilla.
Yeah.
The vanilla smell is one of the worst smells that you could have in a candle.
Oh, really?
She knows that I hate it. She knows that I'm anti-vanilla.
She can't help it, though. She's
can't
a white
help
woman.
It. She's a white woman in her late to mid-30s, and you bet your ass she's lighting those vanilla candles on fire.
You should always state mid-30s. Mid-30s. Don't add the late
That's
in there.
Very true.
The mid-30s,
true.
All right?
Yeah, you got a ways to go.
NBA trade chatter as we move on from white women and vanilla candles.
Yeah, what happened this weekend? We haven't traded anybody yet.
We have not traded anybody yet. We will refuse to trade anybody of any talent.
No,
if
God
it requires
forbid.
Us getting Jaylen Brown.
No, all our guys will turn into the greatest players of all time eventually.
We are right now on Kawhi Leonard watch. He might be traded back to the Toronto Raptors. That's the latest report. The Mavs are trying to jump into this, which actually I love the Mav fit. I think
you like the Mavs fit?
Dude, the Mav fit, Kawhi, Kyrie, Cooper Flagg.
San Antonio's the scariest for me.
I haven't seen them involved in much.
I've seen Bobby Marks, I think, has alluded to that both of his former teams are interested in his services.
San Antonio would be a terrifying one.
That's the one that I'm like, no, Toronto, fine, you go there, you go anywhere else, just don't go to San Antonio.
I don't think maybe I'm wrong, but it doesn't seem like he wants to do the San Antonio thing twice. The first time didn't end very well.
I didn't know what the relationship was like now. Has time healed the wounds there?
I think him and Pop are cool, but I think he's cool, but like not want to go back cool. You know what I mean? Toronto seems like the likely landing spot as of now based on the reporting. The Magic waved Jonathan Isaac.
Yes.
And it was so funny because Danny tweeted about him, and I went, oh, I know who wants this guy, as soon as it was reported, and he tweeted 5 minutes later.
Give me this guy.
And I was like, he said 12 to 18 minutes. I was like, Danny, is he going to play 18 games? You want him to play 12 to 18 minutes? I don't think he's going to play 18 games.
Well, we might need somebody to replace Robert Williams, and he carried that role pretty good for the last 3 or 4 years.
You're not wrong on that. The Hornets made another trade.
Yes, they did.
They traded Miles Bridges to the Suns for Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal, a future first, which, man, that is such good dealing by Charlotte. Charlotte may be questionable to some because they traded LaMelo.
Yeah, they've had a nice little offseason here.
They have completely opened up their books. They haven't paid Miller yet, but he's close.
Right.
And you've acquired draft capital while leaving yourself available to potentially jump into the Jaylen Brown stuff if you so choose.
Yes.
Boston reportedly really likes Naz Reid. They have picks now. Like, you know, they might be lining themselves up. Detroit is obviously in this as well. But Charlotte very clearly saying, Con Canipple didn't play well in our play-in situation.
Don't overreact.
Don't care. Let him build off his great rookie season. And let's reset our culture a little bit. Let's get away from controversial Miles Bridges and his domestic violence.
Yeah, people who beat women, let's get them off of our roster.
Let's get away from, Snapchatting Instagram models while driving LaMelo Ball.
Running over fans outside of the arena, not a good look.
Let's redo this a little bit, have our books more lined up, and we'll go from there. So really good business dealing. And then Hartenstein got a 3-year deal this week in which kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
Because they're approaching real high-end tax stuff, and I had just assumed they were going to lose Hartenstein.
They've traded a number of players to lower their tax bill in the last week or so.
So I just would have thought that wasn't going to happen, but a 3-year $75 million deal. So quite the little busy weekend, not involving our Blazers in the association.
It was. The Hartenstein one is interesting because I agree with you from a financial standpoint. I also, the tough part that they're in right now, and I think we can ask this question about ourselves a little bit, and granted, Klingon is a young player, but when San Antonio and OKC played in the playoffs, who was the more effective big against Wemby? Like, it's not even close.
it, the more effective. Oh, you mean like, Hartenstein? Yeah.
Yes, like yeah. like you, he outplayed yes. one of your big three. You had to sit one of your big three down.
Yep.
Now we dealt with that same problem. Our guy's also only in the second year of his career, so we'll see how his offseason goes and if he does end up getting dealt or not. But in that series, we all know who was the more fit. Robert Williams was the better big in that series, and he outplayed our young guy. And so there's a tough idea of you just lost to them in seven games. You didn't defend your title because you couldn't get through San Antonio. And if that guy's not going anywhere, you need to have a big who can handle that. And there's no indicator that Chet's going to be able to get over the mental hurdles. So I get that move for them. I actually tip my cap to them knowing where they're at in the salary cap standpoint and making sure that you re-signed him. Phoenix and Miles Bridges, like, man... I don't know what Phoenix is going to be next year. I certainly didn't see them being as good as they were in the regular season this past year. We all acknowledge the level of player that he can be. There's just that like moral conundrum in the back of your mind anytime his name is uttered of like, do I really want to do business with this guy?
He's also not just the moral part, but Dirt, he's on an expiring contract.
Yes.
And he's going to get an extension. They didn't make that trade to keep him on an expiring contract.
So he's going to get a deal out of it.
Now you're going to get... What, it's going to be Devin Booker, Miles Bridges. There's rumors they might be after Ja.
Oh, dude, if you go get Ja Morant, if you have Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, and Miles Bridges on the same team.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is easily the most hated team in the NBA.
Outside of like the territory.
The teams who we hate because they're good. Like San Antonio right. we hate because how good they are and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They will be the team or OKC because of the flopping SGA. Just from a pure hatred and like villain standpoint,
yeah.
nobody will outrank Phoenix in that category. That's just I love what Charlotte's done this offseason, man. And it's the benefit of having good drafts. Con Knipple pushing Cooper Flagg was tremendous last year.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a legitimate debate in the second half of the season of who should be the rookie of the year. That's how good Con Knipple played. And to your point, like you don't overreact to a playoff, couple of bad playoff games. Mm-hmm. It's his rookie season. You're getting different looks. Like
our guy Donovan Klingon had a terrible playoff, and we went into the weekend asking, would you trade him?
Right.
And almost all of the discourse about the Blazers and their trade and their Jaylen Brown stuff has been what? No way, can't do it. So it's like young players, breaking news, tend to struggle. It's what made Dylan Harper's finals run crazy.
That doesn't happen.
You never see that from rookies. And so Con Knipple struggling is one thing. Donovan Klingon just struggled in his first playoff go-around. Our backup big was better than him. So, to your point, like they're resetting everything. You keep trusting what Con Knipple largely was.
He's going to be a really good player.
Yes, that was I think this has been good business by Charlotte, which is shocking to say out loud. But Charlotte now is like a real take-em-serious team.
I mean, look, we've been through that how many times in the NBA, man? What were the Knicks for 15 years? They were a laughingstock in the NBA. They didn't do anything. They didn't matter. They couldn't win a playoff series. And then they won a championship. So even if you've been incompetent and don't appear to know what you're doing on the outside looking in, you can eventually blind squirrel find a couple of nuts and get your ducks in a row. And it seems like Charlotte's done that. I've loved their offseason so far.
If we get the breaking news of Jaylen Brown during the show, we'll obviously talk about it, dive into it. We will start talking about it, though, at 7 with John Corrales. He is the host of Locked On Celtics, SI Celtics. He's going to join us coming up at the top of the hour, so we'll see what he thinks about all the rumored packages involving the Blazers and Jaylen Brown. Coming up next, though, something did pop up around Jaylen Brown, not involving the Blazers, and that made for quite the interesting conversation. Get to that coming up next on 105.1.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan.
There's a lot of things that analytics don't show or don't take into account. You know, I just always thought analytics for like geeky, unathletic white guys that wanted to be a part of the league but just couldn't make it playing basketball, so they decided to put math into the equation.
This is Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM.
That was Josh Hart, former Blazer legend. Geeky, unathletic white guys trying to be involved in basketball because they couldn't make it. I'm raising my hand super high, but I am not like the most in-depth analytics guy that lives and dies by every analytic. It became quite the controversy this weekend Dirt. I'm pretty sure you saw the the dust up. I saw it early Saturday, I want to say it was, when I saw the cut. And it was Bobby Marks on Sirius XM that started all of this. And we are in this industry as well of like when you get a radio interview and you get a cut or an answer of something that you like, you want to pull it and replay it, right? Bobby Marks talked about analytics of Jaylen Brown, and he did. They sent out the full cut because this got aggregated, and I think he felt really bad. Jaylen Brown quote tweeted and was like, "Cite your source."
Yeah, he was going back. He was like, "Man, listen to the entire answer." They took out They took one line out of a 3-minute answer that was not my. I'm not saying this is my opinion.
Yeah, I also did listen to the full 4-minute and 15-second exchange, and I'm not saying. Look, Bobby Marks is a friend of the program.
Yes, he is. Good friend of the program.
P2. You know, when he got time, he's a P2.
Yes, he is.
The full cut doesn't really change the overall statement of Bobby Marks and what he said about Jaylen Brown. So if you missed it this weekend, this was what Bobby Marks said on Sirius XM radio on Jaylen Brown.
There's mixed feelings about him when you talk to teams. The analytics of Jaylen Brown is not good. I'm more of an eye test guy. There are some people out there that look at that a little bit more deeper than what the eye test says. I had one, not an executive, but an analytics guy saying, well, yeah, we view him as like the seventh best player on a team. I was like, holy crap.
Oh my God.
I get it. There's a rule for analytics and stuff, but, well, I guess they call it, I guess we call that strategy now.
Seventh best player on a team?
So I was like, wait a minute, that's a little bit of a stretch there.
So that was the cut that circulated of he is the seventh best player on a team. Now, I'm going to do something here because I know Marks had to come out and defend himself.
Yeah.
My only read on this, it had to have been a complete miscommunication between anybody in an NBA analytics office. It had to have been, he's the seventh guy in the league you pick for a team, not the seventh best player on a team. I think Tom Haberstroh did the math and said he's like, that would put him at like the 250th player in the league.
It's just laughable. He was second team all NBA this year, and he finished in the top five or just outside the top five in MVP voting. Like, it's a laughable take. I certainly think that there are organizations, and I think Bobby's being truthful here. I don't think he's making this up out of thin air. He's talking to teams. He's getting their perspective on players. And I'm sure there's some advanced analytic departments that look at him and they say, we don't think he's worth what maybe some other teams think that he is worth. Hell, I would argue, going on a limb here, I'd say his own team kind of feels this way about him. Because from a eyeball test standpoint for the last 5 to 6 years, who's been the better Boston Celtic? Oh, Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown? Well, and I think it's been Jaylen Brown.
And that's fine.
Every postseason run they've been on, who's been the better player? Who was the conference finals MVP?
Who was the finals MVP? But the organization is telling us simply, it's Tatum.
That's how they feel. Now, yes. I disagree with the organization, but his own organization has looked at him and said, we finally broke through and won a championship. Who was the MVP of the conference finals and the NBA finals? Mm-hmm. It was not Jason Tatum. Who is the guy who just carried us to the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, averaging the 4th most points in the NBA this year, behind only Anthony Edwards, SGA, and Luka Doncic? Mm-hmm. And we got the 2 seed in the East, despite our other player not being around, and they're still shopping him in the offseason after the year that he had. So I think his own organization feels a certain way about him, and this is where, if I were more of an analytic guy, this is the kind of stuff that would make me scream into a pillow. Because it just is a bad look on all of
you. It makes the analytics
It
truth.
Makes
yes.
the analytics stuff an absolute joke. If you don't think Jaylen Brown's a top 10 player in the NBA, like, fine, that's a point we could debate. I think last year the numbers and the metrics point out that he is a top 10 player in the NBA, and he's a clutch guy in the playoffs, and he has been his entire career. Mm-hmm. But outside, like, if you're telling me that he's that far down the list because of, you know, actually the advanced numbers show in certain stat categories when he's off the floor, they're better without him. Like, it's just, you look like an idiot because we have eyeballs and we can watch basketball.
Well, and that Marks was citing that as well as, like, the eyeball test versus what you're getting from analytics. Like, there are certainly going to be analytics that people that are really into the numbers are going to tell you are not exceptional for Jaylen Brown. Sure. Again, this set off a wave of analytics, and I think David West chimed in and was like, I get it, I understand it, but he jumped on the, I think it's, we play dweeb basketball now.
Yes, it's a problem.
And that's
gone too far.
Well, that sparked a bit of a reaction. Josh Hart's cut that we played as a rejoiner. To their credit, like, people who do get involved in the analytics were like, dude, why do you think you're in the NBA? You can't really shoot. You're not a shot creator. You're not the most amazing player at the rim. Why are you in? It's analytics. You make sense analytically for your team. But yeah, take the shot at the dorky white guy with glasses that wishes he was 6'5 black and could jump 44 inches.
I'd be dunking on everybody.
Look, I will admit, there are elements of analytics that I kind of roll my eyes at, right? I still think defensive metrics in some ways are not completely where they need to be and will only get better. But, like, I heard this weekend. I instantly heard, I started laughing, oh, we'll play that Monday. And yep. I knew it was going to set off this wave, and every analytics person or pro analytics person jumps on and it's not representative, and they start getting all defensive and hot and bothered, and I'm like, oh God, here we go. We have to misinterpret something from a random analytics guy that Bobby Marks, I still maintain the guy was probably saying seventh in the league,
yeah,
not on a team. There's no analytic you can prove with Jaylen Brown where you're like, he's the seventh best player.
There's not a team
on
that exists.
Any team.
The greatest team in the history of the NBA, he wouldn't even be the seventh, but he'd be higher than the seventh best. Who's the best team of all time? In your mind, 98 Bulls, 2016 Warriors, whoever you want to go.
Sure.
All right, you're not taking him ahead of Kevin Durant and Steph Curry or maybe Klay Thompson, maybe? But
yeah.
I would take him over
after
Klay.
After that, you know?
Like, stop it. Fine, Jordan, okay. Pippen, okay.
Rodman,
fine. Different player. I still
would
take
him
over
Rodman.
But would
you rather have Brown or
Kukoc? Right? Like, get out of here, dude. It's just, yeah. Part of it is, and I, you know, our coach is this way to a certain extent, and I understand the numbers behind it. But I feel like there has been a lot of turning on guys who are high-volume two-point shooters. And do you know who led the NBA in two-point attempts last year?
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown took 16 two-point attempts a game.
Yeah.
This is a bit
the
of a—
The midi is not very
the midi's
well—
The midi's gone.
Yeah.
What do coaches
low.
Want?
They want threes and dunks.
Threes and dunks, yeah. Right? If you're going to shoot it, you might as well try and get one more point out of it.
Yep.
The numbers tell us that works. Or get dunks around the rim. That's what you want to shoot. And he only shoots 5 threes a game. He shoots 16 twos a game, or at least last year he did. That was the highest number of his career. Brunson has been a guy like this for large chunks of his career,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of his volume comes inside the three-point line, but not necessarily around the rim. Dude, if you're good, you're good. If you can convert, you can convert. And if you can score 28 points per game in the NBA and be the sixth in MVP voting and second team all league, you're a damn good basketball player.
But also, there's so many elements of analytics that it's not just as simple as like shoot threes and twos. There's more elements to it. So I'm not surprised that it was misinterpreted. I'm not surprised that it went super viral. And I also enjoyed the fact that in a weekend where we're kind of leading the pack so far in the sweepstakes, he became a lightning rod of conversation, not about if we trade Donovan Klingon.
No, that's what we did locally.
But about analytically, is he the seventh best player on a team? No, he is not. Breaking news.
Take that stock down, though, if you want, man. I think he's the 30th best player on a random NBA G League roster.
I'll just say this. If that analytics guy didn't misinterpret, and I am incorrect here, and Marks was literally reading a text word for word, that person should have been fired a week ago.
Immediately
fire that person.
Yes.
Loaded second hour of the radio program. We'll dive in. Jaylen Brown and the Blazers rumored. John Corrales, Locked On Celtics, will join us coming up. Hour number 2, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.